time for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. Every week, Steve will give us timely tips for caring for our plants. He'll answer your questions and give us expert advice. Now here's a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. It's a walk through the garden with Steve Stone on Saturday morning. How are you this morning, Steve?
Hey, I've got my coffee, so I'm good.
That's good. And I believe it says Rooster Joe's on the cup.
Yes.
And it says Rooster Joe's on the front page of the Daily Standard yesterday.
Yeah, I stopped over and saw Joe this morning, and I told him I was going to bring my newspaper over, have him autograph it.
Well, that would be about right. Because he's a big celebrity now, so that's what kind of things we want to talk about today, Steve? Or are we continuing what we've done before, or adding to, or whole new subjects?
I don't know.
Today,
I'm excited. Maybe in the next couple of weeks, we'll be able to get started with a walk through the garden with Ohio State football. But
yeah,
it can't come soon enough. No, just again.
Well, you're probably not going to get to go to the games, so.
I'm trying to.
And they're not allowing tailgating, so I guess.
How do you stop tailgating?
They're not allowing tailgating on their property.
I mean, how do you stop that? Do you call in the SWAT team and start shooting people that set up a card table and drink a beer?
I think they have gates.
Oh, gosh.
I think they have ways to close down the parking lots.
Well, maybe we could just say it's a protest.
Yeah.
We're protesting, and then it's okay, right?
Well, you'll need a permit, but yes, it'll be okay if you get a permit.
Okay, I'm protesting the fact that the football season started really late.
Yeah, so if you can get a permit, I think you'd be okay.
Perfect.
But beer drinking, hamburger flipping.
Instead of burning buildings down, we're just going to burn hamburgers and hot dogs. It's all good. Just a lot of different things to get to. As usual, we talked a couple different weeks here in a row about what a great time fall planting is, and it is, fantastic time to plant. Again, unfortunately, it's just really, really dry right now. And I don't know what you've heard as far as the weather goes. I was super excited earlier in the week because they were calling for rain like all day Sunday, all day Monday. We're going to get 2 inches, 2.5 inches. This storm was going to come up out of the Gulf and just give us a really, really good soaking. And now that seems like it's kind of fizzling out. Is that what you've heard?
Well, the storm is fizzling. It's not fizzling out, but it's going to stay south of us. There is a front coming in on Monday. I had originally heard that it was going to be like Monday mid-morning or something like that. Now they're talking about coming in Monday late.
I'm sure the farmers don't want to see that soaking rain coming, but I'm telling you, as many yards as we put in this fall, the ones we put in early, they got that storm that blew through, and actually we got almost too much rain. We put some in early, and I want to say that was in early September. And we got some pretty significant rains to blow through. And I think that one evening we got like 3 or 4 inches on a couple of the lawns we put in. And they came in spectacular. I mean, they just look phenomenal. And then everything we've put in since then, if the homeowner hasn't watered, the one job we did had irrigation. So that one came up perfectly. The other ones, not so much. They just simply haven't had enough rain to get the seed even thinking about coming up and germinating and starting to fill in. So,
I think the farmers will be okay with a little bit of rain because I don't think it's going to be wet all week. And from the things I hear, the harvest is actually ahead of average. So as long as we don't get lots and lots of stuff, and I've seen some cornfields that are still kind of greenish, and they're not going to be cutting those for a while.
Yeah,
harvesting those.
The the ground is really dry. If you've done any kind of digging or landscaping or anything, the ground is really dry. So yeah, you could get a couple of, you know, rain showers, and probably within about 24 hours, you could get right back on those fields again. But again, that if we could get just, you know, even an inch of rain, just make a huge difference for your lawn. And then also, obviously, for the, if you've done any seeding type projects, it's going to be enough to get the seed to germinate and start to grow. So, yeah, I've been kind of wanting to do my rain dance to try to get some showers to blow through. I just, we just, you know, it's just awfully dry right now.
It'll work if you wait till Monday at noon.
Well, you know what? The last, I don't know how many weeks, you know, you look at the extended forecast and, oh, we're definitely going to get rain this day or this day or this evening, and it's going to start at 10 o'clock, and it just never seems to get here. We've just missed everything this fall for the most part. And, you know, again, it's the time of year that, with the milder temperatures, you know, daytime highs not being that hot, and then the night, and then very little humidity, and the nighttime temperatures being cool, the plants in your turf don't dry out as fast because they're not transpiring. They're not using as much water because it's not as hot, but it is definitely really dry right now.
Yeah. So we're still, it's still early enough to seed and do all that if you're,
well, from
your situation, or is it getting toward the end of it, or?
From a landscape standpoint, it's, the timing is absolutely, again, perfect. Watering, you know, once you water your plant them and water them in, they're going to be happy as can be. And one of the beauties of this time of year is the amount of, you know, watering. It just doesn't need as much because again, just like I had mentioned before, the ground is dry, but the temperatures are such that you could probably get by with watering your plants, maybe your new plants, maybe once a week. Mm-hmm. In the summertime, you know, when it's hot, dry, windy, breezy, July, August, you could potentially, you know, have to water every evening with new, you know, brand new plants. This time of year, again, with the temperatures we're having, you know, again, twice a week probably is maximum. So the amount of care and effort that you have to put into your new plants is going to be, you know, half or more or less of what it would have been if you did it earlier. So that timing is ideal. Now, seeding, and I say that it's too late to seed, but I seeded yesterday at my house.
Well, that was out of necessity, though, right? You couldn't seed before that.
So it is.
You didn't say, you weren't sitting there on your back porch thinking, I think I'll just wait a few more days. You had well, repairs you needed to do.
Yes, definitely. And I was, you know, watching the weather saying, oh, yeah, you know, they're calling Saturday night, Sunday, Monday. It's going to be. So I kind of timed it to get the seed down, the fertilizer down, thinking, okay, here we go. Yeah, I got the timing's perfect. And then now they're, you know, talking about the rain being minimal compared to what they were calling for earlier, which again, I was excited. I mean, obviously it's horrible for Louisiana. That same area, that same path has gotten two significant storms, you know, within a month, which, you know, you wouldn't really wish that on your worst enemy.
No, but that's not good.
But I was excited to see it coming the direction it was because, you know, that they had the path coming right over us, but now the path is certainly going to stay south of us. So anyhow, yes, I have done some seeding. I've been watering diligently. Actually, I watered so much I ran my cistern dry. So
that's a lot.
That's not good.
Unless it's a 5-gallon cistern, I'm going to guess it isn't.
No, it's really big. And so it's really empty right now. So, you know, using well water and still watering. And I, you know, looking at the forecast again and looking at the extended forecast, I'm pretty confident I'm going to be able to get that up and growing because the temperatures look super nice, really mild all through next week. No, you know, real cold cycles or anything. It is, from a seeding standpoint, it is definitely past the whatever you want to say, optimum time seeding. You usually want to do sometime in the month of September. And you can even start as early as, you know, I say the middle of August. You can get lawns, if you want to do a complete renovation. You spray them and kill them and then get your seed down earlier, the better. You know, we've had lawns that we've put in late season. We've put lawns in October, and we've had, you know, really good success. And I think we've even tried putting one in the first, second week of November, and we've had moderate success in getting them up and getting some coverage before, you know, winter sets in. The one thing that makes a difference is the type of grass seed that you use. Perennial rye, and I don't know if we talked about this or not, perennial rye is a really incredible grass in that it will germinate in 5 days. So if you put it down, fertilize it, get water on it, literally will germinate in 5 days. Rye is used frequently, and don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure like GABP has a lot of rye because in the turf, because it germinates so quickly. So if you have worn areas or bare areas, things that don't look good, and the team leaves town for a week for a road trip, that grounds crew can get those things healed in a week, literally. Mm-hmm. But so, you know, rye is going to come up very quickly. So that's, you know, I guess certainly a positive. Rye also is, I don't recommend that for a complete lawn project, because rye is just horribly susceptible to disease, and you're going to lose it probably in the winter or in the summertime when you get brown patch or dollar spot or something. It's just literally going to wipe that out in no time flat. When you're GABP and you've got a really big budget, you can put plenty of fungicides down, and you can manage the disease issues. For most homeowners, fungicides are expensive and complicated and difficult to apply, so you don't want to use those. Right. Bluegrass is going to germinate in somewhere between 10 to 14 days. And that's what I used at my house. I did a little building project. And then, of course, so I had a cement truck or two in there and kind of marred up the yard. The other thing I wanted to do was that side of the yard had a lot of different types of grass in it. It had fescue. It had nimblewill. It just had a lot of different what I call ugly grass. From the road, you probably didn't notice it, but when I mowed it, you know, once a week, it drove me crazy because I'm a little bit of a perfectionist.
Yeah, well, that's understandable. That is kind of your thing.
So I round up the whole thing and killed it and got rid of all the ugliness that I didn't like, and then put bluegrass down. The bluegrass, again, is going to germinate in 10 to 14 days. And it actually, once it gets up and growing, it's actually pretty winter hardy. I mean, it, as long as, you know, it's only not even quite the middle of October, and the forecast looks really nice. I mean, if we don't start getting significant cold till around Thanksgiving, and I continue to water, and hopefully Mother Nature cooperates and helps me, pretty confident that will be mostly filled in, I'm hoping, by Thanksgiving. When you get to the other really popular type of turf is the turf type tall fescue. The turf type tall fescues are super popular because they claim they don't get diseases, which is absolutely not true. They will get some disease, but they definitely tout that they're a lot more tolerant of disease issues and insect issues than bluegrass. Mm-hmm. And I certainly agree. I don't think it's quite as completely disease tolerant as what they tout, because I have seen some lawns that turf type tall fescue lawns that have some dollar spot and brown patch, but certainly not bad. They do root down around twice, maybe 12 inches, compared to bluegrass rooting down 4 to 6. So drought tolerance is certainly, you know, dramatically better. The trade-off is the turf type tall fescues are a little bit coarser in texture and a little lighter in color. And then also, you know, those things, that turf will take a lot longer to germinate. It could be, 10 to 20 days before it germinates and starts to grow. And the new seedlings, as they're growing, is certainly just a bit, when it's a baby, I guess the best way to put it, is a little bit more cold. It may have a little bit more of an issue with cold. So my point to this whole rambling argument here is, you're certainly with bluegrass and perennial rye, you can seed those late and chances are you're going to get a good stand and you're going to be fine. If you seed turf type tall fescue really late, that's a lot more of a gamble. You just don't know if you're going to get enough warm days to get it up and growing and happy. And you may look like you've won, and then you get a really cold winter, and then you come out in the spring, and it's like, holy crap, you know, I'm back to bare dirt again. So that's the one I really wouldn't roll the dice on. I rolled the dice on mine being a little bit later because it's bluegrass, and it's not a huge area. I think it's 15, 18,000 square feet, so it's something I could kind of keep watered fairly effectively. So seeding late, you know, that's fine with what I'm doing. Also, I know a guy where I can get some grass seed if it doesn't come up. So
really?
Yeah. And so
well, and you probably wouldn't have been able to stand the winter looking out there.
Oh no, I would have I would have completely lost my mind if I would, if that would have stayed. Yeah, they would have had to come take me away in a rubber truck. I couldn't stand to look at that all winter long like that.
When you at least knew you could have tried something.
Right. Yeah. I got the seed and fert down, so I'm pretty happy at this point. All I have to do today is get cars cleaned up for the big cruise in tonight. Yeah,
yes, that's going to be man, the weather's going to be beautiful.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. We're looking.
It's going to be so nice.
Looking forward to having a huge crowd uptown tonight. That's for sure.
Yeah. I would say it might be, you know, as the car club guys, Carol and John and Steve Judy were in on Wednesday.
On Wednesday, they came in and talked to Jack.
Yep. And, you know, they're talking about one thing that works in their favor in addition to the weather is that lots and lots of these people have not been able to get their cars out to even drive them or to show them, take them anywhere, maybe not even half the time they usually do, and they are anxious to get out. And this is probably going to be the last great weekend.
Yeah, the car show or car club, they do a fantastic job. This is the, you know, kind of later in the season for car shows, and the timing, you know, again is ideal. The temperatures and the weather they're calling for today is going to be fantastic. And yeah, everybody's been, I mean, obviously it's been a very ridiculously unusual year, and so if people have an opportunity to get outside, which obviously the show's outside, so
yeah.
It's going to be, I think, yeah, I'm expecting a huge turnout tonight. I mean, because people are anxious to get out and go do something, because between early season, the restaurants being closed and quarantine and, you know, just all the all the ridiculous stuff that we've put up with this season, I think everybody's looking to get outdoors.
Yeah, and the cars are awesome. They're going to be 4 to 8 from now. It won't be all the way down this direction, all the way down to
49.
Pack-a-sack
as it normally is,
because they can't with Broadway. That's usually their truck route detour, or their regular state route detour, and that's not finished, so they have to come up on 49. So it'll stop at Nature's Corner, corner there.
Yeah, they said they're just
going to Brick Streets push
it north, or push it south, down.
So it's going to be
past Hastings.
Yeah, and possibly down to the former bed and breakfast, the Morvilius House.
Well, if we have a good night, it might go all the way down to Center Street.
That's true. And they, you know, they're not blocking off much more except people's access to their houses. But there's about 3 or 4 there that might have some problems. But most of those people are very much car enthusiasts anyway, so they're not going to get too excited if they have to park around the corner and walk half a block to their house.
That's right.
So we kind of covered lawns. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about some more stuff.
All righty.
Flower and plant and other kind of stuff. Back in just a minute on Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone.
Mow, dig, haul, lift. versatile Kubota BX Series subcompact tractor does it all. Switching attachments is simple, and a smooth hydrostatic transmission makes for easy operation. The Kubota BX Series, the number one selling subcompact tractor in the U.S. for over 10 years. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Your Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
They're focused. They see the future as an opportunity. They're growing, and they're looking for someone like you who shares in the same vision for a better future. Cooper Farms has been raising turkeys since 1938, and today they're raising hogs and chicken egg layers and making a variety of delicious food products. What's in store next for Cooper Farms? Join them in their quest for innovation, opportunity, and growth. Apply online today at cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, it's more than just a workplace.
Fall Fort Street Car Classics Cruise-In is back on. The Ohio Department of Health is now allowing outside car shows just in time for this great event coming up on Saturday, October 10th from 4 to 8 p.m. It's back on the bricks for the Fall Cruise-In. There will be a few necessary changes, but you'll be able to check out these awesome cars in downtown Fort Recovery. So don't miss your chance to get to the Fort Street Car Classics Fall Cruise-In on Saturday evening, October 10th, from 4 to 8 on the Brick Street in downtown Fort Recovery. Fort Recovery Community Club's Fall Fish Fry is coming up this Saturday, October 17th, with serving from 4 to 7:30. Stop out at the Progressive Sportsman's Club on St. Peter Road for their famous fish with all the fixings, this year featuring premium pollock loin. And there'll be hot dogs for the kids if they don't want fish. It's only $10 for all you care to eat, and carryouts will also be available, and it's only $5 for kids 10 and under. Stop out at the Progressive Sportsman's Club on Saturday evening, October 17th, and try out their new premium pollock loin fish fry, serving from 4 to 7:30. And they'll have the Fort Recovery football playoff game on the big screen, so hang around after the fish fry and watch the Indians football game against Fairbanks.
We're back on Walk Through the Garden, Steve Stone. And, well, let's see, we talked a little bit about lawns and how it's still okay but not ideal, but you can still do some of that seeding and that type of thing. You want to continue on with that, or we need to move on to something else, or did you get any questions this week? Or
I hadn't gotten any questions this week. I've been checking my emails and got lots of emails but no questions. I had a lot of people ask me this week. I had an awful lot of appointments and just questions about, you know, trees and shrubs starting into dormancy or losing leaves, and people concerned about, you know, what's going on with the plants. And, you know, it unfortunately, no matter if we like it or not, it is, you know, it is fall, and it's a little early to see some plants defoliate, but it's not, you know, uncommon. Starting to see, I just noticed really yesterday, starting to see some, you know, incredible fall color already, which it, I don't know, to me it seems like it should, it seems like it's early for that, but I guess, you know, nearly mid-October's really not. But some plants, you know, if they're stressed, will show fall color and go dormant early. And deciduous plants, obviously, have that luxury. I mean, they're used to not having any foliage and, you know, photosynthesis, you know, for 5-6 months at a clip, and they're, you know, they're perfectly fine. So if the plants, you know, show a little bit of fall color and then just drop their foliage, whether it's a shrub or a tree, chances are it's perfectly fine. One of the easiest things to do to look at the plant to kind of check its health is to, you know, look at the stems and branches. And if it's set bud for next season, which, you know, I don't know how to explain what a bud looks like on the radio, but if it's got, you know, buds all up and down the stems, then it's probably, and you take your thumbnail and scrape a little bit of the bark back and you see a bright green layer underneath that bark, you know, chances are the plant's fine. It just kind of called it quits early for the season, which is perfectly fine. It's not anything that means the plant's in a state that it's going to just all of a sudden croak. So if you see, you know, things that have called it quits early or went into dormancy early, you know, again, probably not a big deal. And that has a little bit to do with, you know, the fact that it's, we talked about earlier before the break, how dry it is. If it's dry, you know, and the plant's struggling for moisture anyhow, again, the deciduous plants have that luxury of just saying, I'm done for the year, and dropping the leaves, and then it'll, you know, absorb moisture all through the winter through its roots, and then it'll leaf out and be perfectly fine, you know, chances are in the spring. I think we touched on this last week, and it definitely want to get to it again this week. Evergreens don't have that luxury. The deciduous plants, due to the physiology of the plant, it takes its energy in, you know, through the leaves and through photosynthesis, and kind of builds its roots up and gets ready for winter. And it can stand, you know, cold, it can stand wet, it can stand anything. And it's got those reserves in its roots. So when the time's right, it can put leaves out and it grows and it's happy. It's flexible. Evergreens aren't like that. Evergreens really don't produce energy and food stores and put it down into their roots. It keeps this physiology of the plant is it keeps everything in the foliage. And so that's why we're getting deep. If you need to get a pencil and paper, we're getting deep here. That's why, again, you know, deciduous plants can lose their leaves and come back in the spring. But And say you've got a viburnum or spirea or whatever that's deciduous, you can trim that down to the ground, take all of its foliage off or all of its stems off. Especially with viburnums, they react really well to radical pruning, where you can take them down to nothing and then they'll put out new growth and they'll be beautiful and come back and be full again. You can't do that with a evergreen. Evergreens have all of its food stores and everything in its foliage up above ground. So if you trim a boxwood or a taxus or a juniper, you know, down to the ground and say, well, I did the spirea, it'll work for the juniper. Well, no, it won't, because it's got nothing. It's got nothing left to put out new foliage and new growth. So you've killed it. And you really, I mean, it's really hard. I always have people say, well, I'm afraid to prune this because I'm going to kill it. Well, if it's deciduous, it's really hard to kill. I mean, you really have to try hard to kill it, because they will come back, and they'll come back, you know, usually nicer than when before you trimmed them. But evergreens, you know, you don't have, they just don't, they're not set up that way. All their energy is in their foliage, needles, leaves above ground. And so you do a radical pruning, they just don't come back. And that's why you have to keep them, you know, watered, because they don't have the luxury to shut down early. They need water this time of year. That's why if you've got lots of plants and you don't have enough time to look after everything, or water the evergreens. The evergreens need water to get through the winter. The deciduous plants don't. They're a little bit easier, a little bit more tolerant of going into winter dry. Evergreens aren't. If they go into winter really dry, they're either potentially, they have a little bit higher likelihood of not making it through the winter. Certainly, if you have a beautiful spruce, it's very dense and very well, you know, shaped and beautiful, and it goes into winter extremely dry. When it comes out in the spring, it may have half as much foliage on it as it did going into winter, because the plant's doing everything it can to survive, and it's going to sacrifice needles. If it doesn't have much moisture, it's going to sacrifice needles to stay alive. So it may shed half its needles because it has half as much water as what it really needs. So then it comes out in the spring, and it's like, well, I don't remember that thing looking so thin. Well, chances are it shed needles to try to survive. And you will find that with spruces and pines specifically, not as much like arborvitas and stuff, but they will shed foliage too when they're drought stressed. And so again, I don't want to say we're in the middle of a drought, but I'm also saying that it's definitely worth the time and effort to grab a couple of hoses and go out and water all of your evergreens before winter sets in. If it continues to be like this, because like I said at the top of the show, it's pretty dry out.
Yeah, and you know, when we do get some, it seems sporadic. We'll get an inch or two, and then 2 or 3 weeks later, we'll get another at least decent amount. So, you know, if you look at the average, we're getting some rain, but it's coming in in patches instead of anything even resembling somewhat steady.
Yeah, and the other problem is when it's as dry as what it is right now, the ground, just due to the composition of the soil being relatively heavy clay, if you get a significant rain event and you get an inch or two in a short period of time, the ground right now is actually somewhat hydrophobic in that as the water rain hits it, if it comes really fast, it just sheds very, very quickly. It doesn't soak in like it should or could. And so to get the moisture back in the ground, you need, you know, either a long winter of freezing and thawing and consistent moisture, or you need a little bit, you know, slower rain events that allows the moisture to percolate down into the soil, versus when you get a significant amount of rain in a short period of time, it sheds very quickly.
Yeah, it just runs off somewhere.
Yeah, and if you're out watering your plants and landscapes, I always recommend they're really inexpensive. Earlier this season, they were literally impossible to find because I'm assuming, you know, they're coming from China, coming from overseas, whatever. But soaker hoses are really nice to use. And like I said, I think most of the stores have kind of got caught back up as far as their inventory goes. But I know earlier this season, early summer, I was looking for soaker hoses, and I just simply couldn't find any. They were all sold, and people were having a hard time restocking them, I'm assuming due to the COVID ridiculousness that was going on.
Yep.
But soaker hoses are a great, very inexpensive and very just a perfect way to water, because you can connect them to your hose bib or your water spigot, and they come in 25 or 50 foot lengths, and you can kind of intertwine them around your landscaping and turn it on and just walk away. And those soaker hoses are porous, and they'll just weep water out. And so you can let them run for, you know, an hour, even an hour and a half. And again, it gives you that water that comes out very slowly and percolates down into the ground. If you're watering some trees or larger plants that you might have put in, again, just don't take a bucket out and dump a 5-gallon bucket on it and walk away. Drag a hose out to that tree or your evergreen, even if your spruce has been in for a number of years. Lay the hose right by the trunk of the tree and just crack your water spigot so the water's maybe coming out the size of your little finger, and just lay that hose there and just walk away and let it set for an hour, hour and a half, because that water is coming out slow enough that, again, it's going to find its way. It's going to percolate down into the soil versus it just kind of, you know, running away from the plant. So you want to water infrequently, and you want to water slowly.
Yep. Okay. Well, let's take another quick break here, and we'll come back and kind of maybe shift gears, maybe kind of reiterate what we've gone through, but I'll be back in just a minute.
You could spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on plastic surgery and a new wardrobe, but that's not what would make people love you. Now, a new brick paver patio, that would be a start. Maybe a fireplace. Oh, I know, a fire pit and a water feature. Oh, you're going to be so loved. Forget the gray-haired dude on TV selling online romance. Have Kurt and Eric, the real artist at Nature's Green, give you the makeover that will make you and your home irresistible. Nature's Green Nursery.
Proudly serving the Fort Recovery area for over 23 years, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has the expertise to handle any dirt work you need. From installing waterways and building pads to demolition work and septic system installation, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has all the equipment you need to get the job done right. Does your driveway need some fresh gravel, or do you need some dirt hauled in? We can take care of all your hauling needs as well. Give Brian a call at 419-852-6655. Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage. Go Indians.
Here are just a few of the great specials at Wayne Street Market now through October 15th. They have lots of great prices in their frozen food section. All varieties of Best Choice fries are only $2.29 each. And most Best Choice frozen vegetables are half price at only 99 cents each. And Bird's Eye vegetables are also half price at just $1.09 each. Don't need a bag full of apples? Most varieties of their bulk apples are just $1.99 a pound. And in their dairy case, Kraft Singles are $3.49 each, and Chobani Yogurt is 50 cents off at just 99 cents each. Great prices, great selection at Wayne Street Market, the hometown store that saves you more.
on the Wabash Super Raffle will occur August 27th and 28th, 2021 in Fort Recovery and will feature 211 prizes valued at $650,000. Purchase your raffle tickets for $100 each on our website, wowraffle.com, or at these businesses in Fort Recovery: 10 Snips, Wangler Ace Hardware, Wayne Oil, Riverside Firearms, and Hastings Auto Sales. In St. Joe, Wendell's Barbecue. In Coldwater, Buckeye Clipper and Raffles Engine Service. In Fort Laramie, Geyer's Chrysler Dodge and Jeep and the 5th Clipper. In Versailles, Main Street Barber. In St. Henry, Barbershop on Main. In Salina, Kill RV. In North Star, Davis Camper Sales. In St. Mary's, Bud's Chevy and Kearns Ford. In Portland, Indiana, AMX Motorsports. And in Union City, Indiana, Carts and Parts. Don't miss out on the opportunity to win some awesome prizes at the 2021 Win on the Wabash. Get your tickets now.
We're back. Walk through the garden with Steve Stone. So where do we go from where we've been here? What do we have for this little segment?
Well, just, again, kind of touching base on things that, you know, you can be doing this fall. Again, planting is great. We still have probably more than I'd like. Tulip bulbs, the tulip, daffodils, crocuses, hyacinths. Great time to get those purchased and planted. Nothing says spring, you know, like the tulips and crocuses and daffodils blooming in, you know. Crocuses can bloom as early as March. I've even seen them up in late February, depending on the weather and the season. So, you know, planting that, just really doing the bulbs, just really, to me, extends your season, because you can really get, I mean, if you work hard, or you don't have to work hard, if you try, you could really get color in your landscape from, you know, March till probably December, really. Mm-hmm. Because you can do your bulbs, and your bulbs are going to be early spring flowering. Right now, also, a lot of your garden centers, I think we still have a few left. You've got your mums and your asters are great for fall color. And then you've got your winter pansies, and your winter pansies are just a fantastic plant to put in this time of year, because I don't know how pansy became like a bad name,
because they're one of the hardiest things there is going.
A weak. You're a big pansy. You know, pansies are tough. Yeah. They are really a tough plant. They will tolerate the coldest, I mean, absolutely coldest weather. They are going to look wonderful. And I've actually got pictures, and I can't remember how many years ago, because besides getting coffee this morning, I can't remember what I did yesterday. But I've got pictures on my phone of, I usually plant a lot of winter pansies in the fall, and I've got pictures of them blooming in like January, and they've got snow on them, which is obviously an incredible look. They just tolerate cold, snow, ice, and they just really don't miss a beat. So you can actually get some sporadic flowering with those things all through December. And again, with a mild winter, you'll get sporadic flowering through the winter time a lot of times with those. And you really just, you don't lose those things until, you know, like if you plant them now and you take a little bit of care and give them a little bit of water and some water soluble fertilizer occasionally, you probably aren't going to lose those until next June, July, because they just simply don't like humidity and they don't like the hot weather. Mm-hmm. And so you'll have them, you'll plant them now, and you'll expect beautiful color through the fall. You'll expect tremendous color through, you know, next March, April, May. And so, again, they're very inexpensive. You know, they're a couple bucks for a pot of them. And just, again, really extends your season of color. Then you'll have those for springtime, along with, you know, again, if you put your bulbs in right now, you have crocuses, daffodils blooming, tulips, of course. So you'll have color all the way through spring until then you get into May, and then you can do your annuals, and you pretty much can have color all season. And there's a lot of really good perennial flowers. There's a really interesting perennial flower called Lenten. The common name is Lenten Rose. And the Lenten Rose is a unbelievable perennial flower, and it will stand it. The foliage is actually semi-evergreen, so the foliage is really thick and healthy and beautiful. It doesn't get any type of diseases like powdery mildew or anything, and they will the foliage looks incredible all summer through the fall, and even mostly through the winter time. And they bloom again is a plant that blooms really, really, really early. And they have a really interesting flower. They're pretty good size. They're probably the size of a golf ball. And you can find some really neat colors. The botanical name is Helleborus. And again, you're going to find colors in the pinks and mauve, white, kind of. There's one color I got at home. It's really deep, deep, deep purple. They're just a really cool perennial. And again, I plant, they need shade. So you can't plant them on a south exposure or west exposure. You're going to have zero luck with them. But if you give them some shade underneath the canopy of a tree, I've got a bunch planted on the north side of my house. They're incredible. And again, that's a plant that you could go out and in the middle of February on a nice warm sunny day and they'll be blooming. And so again, you can really, there's just so many neat plants out there, and you can really have a lot of fun with, you know, stretching the season to try to have some color, you know, color out there all the time.
Yeah. So now I'm in the middle of what's going to be a 3-week project now, maybe a 4-week project, because I'm about 10 days into it. Started around the 1st of October, digging up everything on my hill, because I have for a while it was pretty nice with tulips and phlox, and then phlox hanging on, and then the tulips dying and the irises coming up, and it was pretty good. Now my ground cover has kind of taken over along with sweet pea, and so I've got all of this stuff choking out my real flowers. So I'm digging up every square inch of that thing, and I can do about a 2-foot wide strip in an hour. So it's going to take me a while to get it all dug out, but I have tons of I haven't found a whole bunch of my tulip bulbs yet, but I found a lot of my surprise lilies and irises and all that kind of stuff. But as long as it probably depends a lot on what the temperature is, but if I get that stuff put back in by the end of October, I should be okay.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Wish I was putting it back in now instead of taking it out.
You can do tulips. I mean, I've done tulips as late as, because if we have some, and we've had seasons where we haven't sold all of them, and I think I planted tulips as late as close to Thanksgiving, and they've actually come up and flowered. They flowered between a little bit and a lot later than they should have, but they certainly, just don't pitch them. I mean, if you got them, you know, plant them, they're probably going to come up.
Yeah.
Tulips are definitely a plant that just absolutely will not tolerate wet feet. So those need to be in an area, because they'll bloom first season for you, no problem. But if they're in an area that's consistently wet or close to a downspout, don't waste your time, because they're not going to survive. They're going to bloom once, and then they're probably, the bulbs are going to rot through the summer or late spring when it's wet. They're not going to come back for you. They like a little bit looser soil than really what we have. So if you've got really heavy clay and you want to plant a bunch of tulips, that's fine. Amend your soil, get some peat, pine bark, leaf compost, something, and kind of loosen that ground up. Make sure it's well drained, and you're going to have, you know, good success. The tulips also, if you live out in the country, tulips are like candy to deer. So when they leaf out and try to start to grow and you've got deer milling about, they're just totally going to come in and wipe them off. I mean, they are just going to eat them right down to the ground. So you're never going to see any flowers, quite honestly. Rabbits also are notorious for eating the foliage. And if they do come up and bloom, they'll eat the flowers, the stems, they'll eat everything. So tulips.
I think squirrels kind of like to eat the bulbs too, don't they?
Squirrels absolutely love the bulbs. Again, they're like a big old piece of chocolate to the squirrels. They'll dig them up and eat them every time. Now, you can control the squirrels. I've had success doing this.
Pellet gun?
Well, pellet gun works really well. If you plant your clump or grouping of bulbs, you know, dig your big hole and put a big, you know, grouping of tulips in, 6, 8, 10, 12 bulbs. You always want to try to do bulbs in groupings versus singularly, because they'll look a lot, the visual impact is a lot more dramatic when you have a big grouping. So you plant your bulb, dig your hole, put some soil back in and get all your bulbs, you know, kind of in place. And you know, Neil, the little pointy end goes up. And
now
the,
you tell
the,
me.
The fatter end goes
with the roots.
With the roots, that goes down.
Oh.
Okay. So then you put all your soil in and kind of hold all those in place and just barely cover the bulbs. Then run out to Wangler, Ace Hardware, and get a piece of, you know, chicken wire or some kind of a wire fence type of stuff, but it has to have fairly small holes in it. Like chicken wire works perfectly fine. And then lay that down across your bulbs. And then put your rest of your dirt back in. So what happens is your tulips can come up in between all that wire mesh or the chicken wire, and then when those stupid squirrels try to dig down there and dig them out and eat them, they can't get to them. So you can manage squirrel damage, but it's a lot more difficult to manage the deer and rabbits that are going to come in. And again, if you're out in the country, inevitably, I mean, I love tulips and I plant a lot of them, and if you know where I live, I did have a bunch of bulbs out on the south side of my property where I've got those evergreens planted, and yeah, they lasted about a year, and now I have no tulips out there, and I have all daffodils out there, because for whatever reason, rabbits and deer absolutely will not touch daffodils daffodils, hyacinths, and narcissus. They hate them. So you can grow daffodils all day long and the animals won't bother them at all. But tulips, they'll totally. So the tulips I keep up close to the house, because I'll get rabbits up close to the house, but I usually don't have deer up close to the house. But the deer travel that south side of my property nearly every night. In fact, I just got that whole yard raked out and I didn't get it seeded or strawed because it got dark. And I strawed it. Today's Saturday. I strawed it on Thursday, and there's just deer tracks all over in that I just raked out all nice and perfect. And there's just deer tracks everywhere, so they must have been out there checking out my work Thursday night into Friday morning. So I have deer out there like crazy, and they'll just wipe out all my tulips. So I just keep them planted up around the house.
Yep. And so the deer don't generally go up by the house?
Well, I have had them up pretty close to the house. I remember distinctly one night, it was middle of winter and I have to do snow removal, and it was like 3 a.m. and my alarm went off and I had to go out and get some lots clean before first shift. And I walked out the garage door, and literally from me to you away from the house and from the garage door was a huge doe standing in the middle of my driveway. And I don't know who was scared worse, because I jumped and she jumped and she took off and I just about fell into the door. And so, yeah, she was right up in the driveway, right next to the garage door. So they're out and about. We actually, it's pretty cool. We have triplets in the backyard that live in Dave and Rhonda's woods.
Oh.
And we have a doe that has triplets. Oh. And they, I'm not talking about Jill and Aaron's triplets.
Yeah.
I'm talking,
yeah.
These are deer.
Deer triplets.
Deer triplets.
Not that the Vaughn triplets aren't deer.
They
to
are,
everybody.
They're pretty darn cute.
They're good
pretty
people.
Darn cute.
Yeah.
So they're actually becoming fairly tame, that we can go out almost every night and they'll come out around 6:30 and they'll be out behind our house kind of feeding, all four of them. And the mom kind of keeps an eye on us to make sure she knows what we're doing, and then the triplets will be out eating, and then they'll wander off someplace. So it's pretty cool.
Huh. That is pretty neat.
Yeah, they've been out there all summer. Cade found them early this spring when they were just little bitty tiny things. He was out walking along Dave and Rhonda's creek, and he found them bed down out there. And he used to go out and check on them because they slept about the same spot every night, and he would kind of peek in and see what they were doing. But they've stayed pretty close, so it's pretty neat having them out there.
It is good. So anything else you want to throw at us before we...
Nope.
Call quits today?
I think we got all the topics for today.
All right. Well, let's see. It won't be next week, but the week after we can talk a little bit about the football game later that day.
And if again you're out and about this afternoon, make sure you get uptown here. All the restaurants going to be open. And
yes. Yes.
So yeah, we're gonna have, you know, again, anticipating a huge turnout up here for the cruise in this afternoon. The weather's going to be... I don't know how it could be any nicer. The weather looks absolutely perfect.
You talk about October 10th in low 70s, no rain, beautiful sunny day. It's going to be this is going to be a great car show.
And Fort Recovery always, for whatever reason, you know, they get some really, really nice cars to come into town, and you're going to see some really spectacular stuff.
Yeah, always do. There's always stuff I go, oh man, I get to see this one again, or wow, I've never seen this one. Because some of them, well, not some of them, all of them, some of the rat rods aren't beautiful, but they're pretty cool. so you know, but there, you can see the work that's gone into either restoring, or every once in a while you find one that hasn't had anything done to it in 50 years except being babied. You'll see a few of those, but man, those cars, I remember, you know, I didn't drive any of those. Well, I did have a Camaro, but didn't drive any of those, but got to see them. You know, everybody cruised the streets back in the 70s, and these cars were all...
Well, even into the 80s, because I cruised in Salina and Portland and Greenville back in the 80s. There was still a lot of that stuff going on.
Yep. So, well, join us again next week for Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone.
Thanks for joining us again this week for a Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone. If you have a gardening question you'd like Steve to answer, just email him at steve@naturesgreennursery.com and he'll answer it on a later show. Be sure to join us again next week for a Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone.